Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, Jojoka Maria Enthoroma. And the month of August is a nature month, according to the wisdom that I keep. And we've come through three of three powerful eclipses. We just had the last one on Friday night into Saturday. So change is just happening, and it is really, really the energy of this month. So tonight I'm continuing with a four-part series on the theme, Living to Change, Changing to Live. And in this broadcast, I'll be sharing wisdom and insights on changing up your mind. I usually forget to mention about the song that you hear in the opening, which is Stevie Wonder's Nikulela. And it, of course, is from that tremendous, iconic, classic album, Songs in the Key of Life. And I just love, love, love this song. I've made a promise to myself, if I ever was in a position where I needed a theme song, that would be my theme song. And so it's my great, great pleasure to share that beautiful song every week here on Wisdom Walk. And it really kind of really defines what my work is about. And so for those of you listening in for the first time, let me give you a brief overview about Wisdom Walk. It's a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support listeners with learning how to recognize and release any pain that is blocking you from fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Now, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. here Pacific Time, I broadcast live, unless I'm on hiatus or something comes up. And in addition to listening through your computer or other gadgets that access the internet, you may listen to the live broadcast and or call in to the show at this number. It's area code 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. Also, the web link provided on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, and the constant contact email that some of you may get serves as the archive link. So if you're unable to listen now, you can listen later. And, of course, I'd be very appreciative of you sharing the link with people that you think might be interested or that this information could be a support to. So now, without further ado, I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where you can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. As always, I open my shows with an honoring of the ancestors. These are the people whose shoulders we're standing upon. Excuse me. That's better. The people who we are beholden to for who and where we are today. And I'm not just talking about the ancestors who loved on us and gifted us with support. Excuse me. I'm also talking about the ones who may have disappointed us, neglected us, or physically harmed us. And the reason being that our souls have been grown as a result of both the good and the bad. And so tonight, I want to talk about and have us focus on risk takers. So right now, I invite you to take in a few deep breaths. Then close your eyes and think about the ancestors, blood-related or not, you knew them in person or not, who were risk takers, who were able to take necessary risk to make things better for themselves and other people. Do you see that person in your mind? Or persons? For me, it's my grandmother and grandfather. And, you know, we can all think of ancestor risk takers who, you know, did like great, great things. I mean, who took more of a risk than Martin Luther King or Harriet Tubman? But also people living out their lives, you know, with their biggest goal is to just have and maintain and love on a family. Those are big risk takers too. And my grandmother and grandfather, Frank and Lillian Brown, took a huge risk back in 1956, I think it was. No, 50, maybe 57, the year I was born. he took a huge risk because my grandfather's work that he had gotten during the war had come to an end. And he worked as a welder in a shipyard, and they were moving the work now up from Wilmington, Delaware to Bayonne, New Jersey. And so my grandfather decided to follow the work. And this would be the first time that he would have been leaving Wilmington, Delaware, since he had come there as a child from South Carolina. And my grandmother followed along and found work as well. And for a while, for a couple of years, they would do this back and forth thing on the train, going back and forth between Staten Island and Wilmington, Delaware. Because Bayonne wouldn't rent to black people back then, so they found a room on Staten Island. And this was a huge risk. This was a huge risk for them to come into the metropolitan area of New York, even though Staten Island is very residential. But to leave their home, their family, their church, their stores that they were used to, huge, huge risk takers. And they did it so that the family would be okay, that the family would have a home. And, those are the kind of risk takers I'm talking about as well. People who really, said, all right, let's see what we can do. So let's take 30 seconds to say, like I did, the name aloud, or the names aloud, and thank them for what they helped to make happen in your life and the life of your family. And I'm going to watch the time here for the 30 seconds, and when they're up, I will say Ashe. You may begin right now. Ashe. So ancestors, to Frank and Lillian and all the risk-taking ancestors, we want to thank you for taking those risks, for leaving us a legacy of the importance of taking a risk, of stepping into change, not knowing how things may turn out, but having the courage, the faith, and the willingness to learn. Thank you. Continue to help us, especially in the times that we are living in, where it seems like the world is divided between people who want to stay stuck in the past and people who know that you have to move forward. Give us the strength and the courage to do what we know is the right thing, which is to change. And thank you. In the name of all that is holy, I say amen. Ashe Aho Asai Shinga Bismillah. So it is. Ashe. Wonderful. I now want to give you the elemental wisdom for this week, starting tomorrow, the 3rd August through the 19th, through next Sunday. And it's going to be a nature week. And for those of you maybe listening in for the first time, what this is about is this wisdom that I keep is an African medicine wheel, and it has 5 elements in it: of fire, water, earth, mineral, and nature. And each of those elemental allies, we call them, gives us information and an understanding about who we are, why we're here, and what we can do to maintain our aliveness while we're here. And so the system for determining what elemental week it is based on the numbers 1 through 0, really. It's 0 through 9. And so because Monday is the first day of the new year, January 1st fell on a Monday, I use Monday as the start of the elemental week. And so the number 3 in 13 is what I'm looking at. And 3 correlates to nature. We're actually, again, in a nature year because the number 8 also is aligned with nature. And we're in a nature month, which is August because it's 8. And now we're coming into a nature week. And the theme of nature is really, really about change. So if you weren't feeling change before this week, trust me, you will feel change this week. And so here are the opportunities for you, the things that you want to focus on to help you navigate through this wonderful nature week. It's about being flexible, trusting the process, surrendering your attachment to your plan. I can't say that enough. When we make up what we think is the best way for our dreams to come true, we are sure to be disappointed. We need to trust that the universe, God, whatever you call your greater order and direction, with its unknowable ability to make things happen in the right way and at the right time, that this energy is more powerful than your brain or that of any other human. It's important to want what you want to be right for you more than just wanting it. Let go of trying to figure it all out. Do what's right in front of you to do at the present time and know and trust that more will be revealed. Because it's a nature week, connect with the beauty, the magic, and the trickster energy of the nature element, whether that is in the form of plants, trees, flowers, animals, or humans, to help you accept the greater order and direction you are being asked to experience. So, and I will in a minute be talking about change and welcoming change and changing up your mind. But it's so synchronized, so right on that, again, in this week and in this year, that we are at this point to really surrender our attachment to how we think our plans are supposed to go and just trust that the universe will make them even better. Now, here's what can distract you this week. And so this is what to be on the lookout for inside of you. Number one, being arrogant or stubborn. Okay, which means, you know, you're trying to hold on to what you know instead of opening up to what the universe has for you to know. Number two, attempting to change a no into a yes. And we do that a lot in this culture. We do not like to hear no. When we hear no, we think, okay, let me go change that into a yes. There's no way I can accept a no. But if you're not able to accept the no, you never really will get to the yes. Perceiving things as win or lose, you know, this is that competitive mentality so prominent in a male-dominated culture. That's changing. But this whole notion of somebody's got to win so somebody can lose, and, you know, oh, my God. I mean, that is, again, just going to really limit you, limit your ability to really get to and have what it is you really want. Number four, despairing and trying to go back to the place you know best. I also call that trying to squeeze back through the hole that you've outgrown. And despair is a sin because despair really means you think you know the ending. You think you know how something's going to turn out. So then you start to make decisions based on that belief. But the reality is nobody knows the ending. Watch Lord of the Rings. It's a great line from Gandalf to Frodo when he tells him, even the wisest don't know the end to all things. So we want to stay away from despair. We want to stay away from thinking we know what's going to happen. No, we have to be curious. You have to open up and be curious and let me learn what is really going on here, what the outcome is really going to be. And, yeah, maybe the outcome does match what you thought it would be, but you don't need to act before you really know. And then number six, last but not least, number five, excuse me, last but not least, beating yourself up for situations and their outcomes that you have no control over. Wow, this is a big one, a big, big, big one. Really avoid, really, really avoid thinking you are responsible for everyone and everything that's going on. Because the truth is, no, no, you're not. So when things don't turn out the way you think they should, don't waste time beating yourself up. Open up to learning from why things didn't turn out. Because maybe there's something better. Maybe there's another way that you didn't think about. So that's your elemental wisdom for this nature week in a nature month in a nature year. Yes. So that you can navigate through that. Next week, next Monday will be the 20th, and we'll begin an Earth week. And I will, of course, tell you all about that in the next broadcast. Now, astrologically and astronomically, we just came out of the last of three eclipses. The first one, like this one that just happened, was a solar eclipse, and it was partial. Couldn't see it here in the northern hemisphere. The second one in between the two partial eclipses was a lunar eclipse, and it was full on super moon, blood red moon, full moon eclipse, which you could see if you were in Africa, parts of Asia, parts of Europe even, but we could not see it here. But definitely you can feel the energy. Now, eclipses are really designed to help us move out what is no longer serving us, what we no longer need to have or do. Excuse me for a second. I take another sip of this water to wet my throat. Ah, thank you. So eclipses are supposed to eclipse things out of your life. And yes, those things could be people. They could be relationships. They could be situations. In my case, it turned out to be a pharmaceutical. It was a pill that I was taking that I found out had been recalled because it was tainted with a carcinogen that could create a lung cancer. And so that pill got eclipsed out of my life. And so this type of energy is going on. I know of people who, you know, have had eclipsed a responsibility that they thought they were supposed to do. A career path that they thought they were supposed to have for the rest of their lives. You know, some of the eclipsing is very painful because loss is always painful. It's always painful. But in the long run, there is great purpose behind it, even if we can't understand it or see it at the time. There is purpose in it. And so through this season of eclipsing, if you haven't yet paid attention to what is it that got eclipsed out of your life and what are the consequences of that, that's the other thing to think about. Okay, so like for me, this pharmaceutical is now gone. And, you know, I'm blessed that I easily have a replacement for it because of my commitment to really taking on what I call a mature diet. So I've been doing it with diet too. But, you know, what does that mean? Like I'm in question about that. I'm contemplating that. What does that mean now for me? You know, what is it that I'm being prepared for as a result of what happened? Or what is it that now is supposed to show up in my life now that this has happened? So be in question about that. Because for us to move forward as individuals, as communities, as the world, to really get to our experience of life being one of love, of peace, of joy, of happiness, of happy endings coming true, we have a lot of fear stuff that we need to let go of. And, you know, I believe that everything that happens to us is designed to make that come about. So the more conscious we can be about the changes that are showing up in our lives, I think the more that we'll see the results on a global scale in ways that we could never have imagined. Could never have imagined. So know that the eclipse energy, you'll still be feeling it because, you know, it's how, you know, you don't see a train before it comes, but you can feel it. You know, if you were standing on the tracks, you'd feel them shaking, feel them rattling, you know, or maybe you hear the whistle, you know, like 5 miles away, right? So there's that experience of, oh, it's not here yet, but I can feel it. And then after the train goes, you know, you can still feel it as it's moving away. And so that's what's going on now. We're still feeling the effects of the eclipse as it's moving away. So, again, I really encourage you to contemplate what has been eclipsed from your life. And you can look at these last 2 months because the first one started in July. So what's been eclipsed between July and August? And as a result of that, what does that mean for you? Now, for tonight's program, which again is all about change. So everything that I've been talking about is so in alignment with my theme this month, living to change, changing to live. And so I'm going to start off with a review of last week about welcoming change. Then I'm going to talk about changing up your mind. Changing up your mind. So I will be talking about what that means, really. When to change up your mind. I'll give you three good reasons why we should do that. And then we'll talk about some blocks to changing up your mind. And then, of course, I will give you a personal challenge. So let me start with the quotes for this week, which I attached to my announcement for the radio show. And the first one is from Joseph Campbell, who was a teacher and a scholar that took a look at how in all the stories that you find around the world, that there was a common theme in all of them that every human being could identify with. And he called it the hero's journey. And in every culture, you will have a story, a fairy tale about that. Somebody who goes out and has to conquer something in order to become the truth of who they are, come into their power, get the riches, you know, get the right partner, you know. And so he, in the 90s, I believe that was in the 90s, maybe a little earlier, but he was very prominent in helping people reconnect and re-honor, if you will, the importance of mythology in our lives. That these weren't, it wasn't just that these were stories, but these were things that as humans, we needed to be conscious of that. We need to be aware of. We needed to know that it was telling us something about our human existence and so that it was powerful. And so he's noted for two books, one called A Hero with a Thousand Faces, and the other one is called The Power of Myth. And so this quote that I chose from him says, "We must be willing to give up the life we've planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us." I love that. And I have lived that. And it's really hard, but it's so important. It's so important to do. If you want to be happy and you want to be in alignment. And then Dr. Joe Dispenza, whose book I'd been reading, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, I pulled another quote that says, "When you change your mind, your brain changes. And when you change your brain, your mind changes." So that connection between our brain and our internal landscape. Love it, love it, love it. So last week talked about welcoming change, starting off with change as our new norm. I talked about the age of Aquarius versus the age of Pisces and that it's time to break free from this belief in struggling and suffering in order to be alive. I then talked about why we resist change. Why don't we welcome it? And basically because we're human, but also because we attach to things, like the way we were attached to our mother when we were in the womb. And so we want to be safe. And, you know, change brings a fear of loss. It doesn't bring safety with it. It brings vulnerability, you know, brings vulnerability. So that's why we resist. Then I shared a personal story about what happens when you don't pay attention and you don't honor and accept change and you try to squeeze back through the hole. And I shared about my story of returning to Milwaukee out of fear about I'm not going to have any money if I don't do this and how I got a spiritual smackdown that was a physical smackdown, fainted, and the consequence of breaking some of my teeth. Because I forgot my true self. And so the universe is very kind to help us remember or bring us those experiences. So the whole point with the story being that even though we may think we can ignore, avoid, dodge, talk ourselves out of the change that we now are, if we try to go back, we will not make it. We will learn there's no going back. And that is a universal law. I talked about three common emotional blocks to change, which is avoidance, avoiding change, also talking yourself out of it, and that it will not make it go away. I talked about attachment to the past, limiting beliefs versus curiosity. I talked about self-sabotage. Again, the cosmic law of change, which includes healing, growth, and evolution, is that there's no going back, so you might as well go forward. Personal challenge I gave out last week was to go out and do at least three new things for yourself. And this could include meeting new people, going to a new place, reading a new book, seeing a new film, doesn't matter. As long as it's something that you haven't done before. Because when we're doing that, we're demonstrating to the universe, I am willing to accept and welcome change into my life. I am willing to move forward. So I hope that you were able to do that. And if you didn't, you have another week to do it. You know, every week we should do this. I know some people, they do it on a daily basis. They really look for doing something new. At the end of the day, they want to talk about what they learned that was new or what they saw that was new that day. Very, very important. So let me talk now about changing up your mind and what I mean by that. Because the word up in there is about going to a higher mind. This isn't about just changing your mind. For example, I take out a red dress from the closet and decide, okay, this is what I'll wear today. And then I start to get ready, and something says to me, no, it's not that dress. And then I'm like, okay, let me change, and I'm going to go find the brown dress. Okay, this is better. All right. So that's changing your mind. When I'm talking about changing up your mind, I'm talking about you're willing and ready to grade your life. You're willing and ready to upgrade your life. You're willing and ready to evolve a belief system. And give you a simple example. You know, we all have issues around money, all of us. And I don't know anybody that doesn't. I know very wealthy people that have issues around money. So just because you have money doesn't mean you ain't got issues. You know, and a lot of stuff we inherited because of how money got associated with, you know, greediness and avarice. Or people who do bad things. Money is the root to all evil, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so if you, though, are going to live a life where you are financially fit, you have to be able to believe that money is okay. And so you have to evolve your belief system that would say there's something wrong with money. And so you have to change up your mind about what you're believing about money as something that is the root to all evil. Changing up your mind is also about choosing to create change versus change happening to you. And again, this is about how we don't have to wait around, you know, for things in our lives to come to the point where we have no choice but to change as we see and feel that we've outgrown a situation. Or we're in a situation that doesn't feel good, we can choose to create change. And that's the changing up of your mind. Also, changing up means you want something different. You want something more. You want something better. You know, as human beings, that's inherent in us. You know, we're here to grow. We're here to heal. We're here to get to a next level, to go higher up. And so changing up is also you evoking thoughts and feelings to support that change. And that's kind of the basic how you change up. You know, it starts with thoughts and feelings. Now, here are three good reasons why and when you need to change up your mind. Okay? So I'm going to give you category. And, of course, there's many, many different things, reasons in here. But I picked out three good ones. I think these are really three good reasons for when we know, oh, time to change up my mind. The first one is if you're perpetually in fear and anxiety, constant fear and anxiety, because staying in this state not only makes you more likely to transfer versus transform your pain, it can contribute to chronic diseases like high blood pressure or kidney failure or cancer even. When our bodies aren't allowed to relax, everything gets constricted, right? Our bodies are designed to be healthy with things flowing. And when things aren't flowing, we know it because that's when you get something swelling. That's when you get some soreness. That's when you get some redness or some rash, you know. There's something going on. Something's out of balance. Okay, because the body's designed for our venal system, our blood system, and our other fluids to be flowing through these channels in our body, not to be blocked, not to be constricted. Being in a stress-filled state of fear and anxiety will restrict your blood flow. Your heart will pump faster. The hormones in your brain just go crazy trying to help you, you know, calm down. And so in that state, you really can, and especially if you're staying in it, and if you're in it unconscious, I know this because I was there, you don't even realize how you're contributing to developing a chronic disease. Also in this state of fear and anxiety, you can't receive what you need to be connected to your higher self. And if you're not connected to your higher self as a human being, you're going to be struggling and suffering. You're going to be struggling and suffering. So when I get an awareness, or when somebody tells me, because sometimes you can't see it, that you look afraid, or you're really anxious about something, you know, and a lot of times we want to just say, oh, no, everything's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine, you know. No, it's not. And when you can become conscious of that, then you can choose to change up your mind. Another good reason to want to change up your mind, you're in debt and you can't manage it. Now, something I learned from a wealthy person is that all rich people have debt. The difference is for the ones who are wealthy, you know, what we consider wealth, which is you really have no financial worries, they're the ones who can manage their debt. They can manage it. But they got debt because that's just how this system works. You know, you never take and pay full cash for something, or you do it in increments, whatever. And so if you're accepting that you can't manage your debt, then you really got to change up your mind. And I heard this quote, I probably don't have it right, off of a LinkedIn comment from some man. I even forget his name. I should have written it down, but I remember the quote. And it basically says, here's how you get out of debt. You start by stopping the buying of things you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't know. Love that. And yes, there really is a thing called addiction to spending. I know I've been there. And I had to change up my mind. I had to change up my mind. I had to stop believing that I was going to have debt and I couldn't manage it. And that I'd always have this fear of the feds come knocking on my door and wanting to take everything out of my bank account or getting my car repossessed or being evicted from my home. You know the drill. So many of you out there, you know the drill. And so if you're in that state, if you're struggling from paycheck to paycheck, and you don't believe that you can ever get ahead, it's time to change up your mind. You do not want to stay in that state. Because that's analogous to that constant fear and anxiety I was just talking about. Yeah. So it's time for a change up. And then the third one, really good reason, is you're in an unhappy, unfulfilling relationship and or job. Now, the relationship can be with an intimate partner, but it could also be a relationship in terms of a business partner. It could be a relationship with a doctor. I can tell you how many times I hear people say, complain about a doctor, but continue to go back to that person. And I'm like, why are you going back to that person? It's like, what's that about? What is that about? Oh, my God. So any kind of relationship it can be, and any kind of job. If you're unhappy, if you're unfulfilled, staying in either of these situations or both at the same time, which is even worse, will create a silent stress that could physically damage your heart and ultimately kill you. It's a silent stress. This is a symptom of not valuing yourself, not believing that you are worthy of your happy endings in life. So you just feel like, well, I got to put up with this. You know, it's always, isn't my karma, you know? No. So unhappy, unfulfilled, time to change up your mind. So here's some blocks to changing up your mind. Because like I said, I hear people complain about a doctor or I hear somebody complain about a job. And it's like, why are you still there? So here's what I've come up with as to why it is a challenge for most of us to change up our mind. Number one, you're unwilling or unable or just don't know how to have access to your higher self. And I'll repeat that. You're unable, unwilling, or you just don't know how to have access to your higher self. Because changing up your mind is about getting to your higher self, that divine part of you, that part that knows that you came here for a reason, that you have a sacred contract, that your existence is meaningful. And even though, you know, the centuries of slavery, and slavery that still goes on this planet, or episodes of horrific genocide that happen in this planet, or diseases that come and wipe out populations, going back to the plague, where we have this kind of belief that humans are disposable. And so, you know, we really got to change that up. Like, we really got to change that up because it is so not the truth. Everybody is valuable. Everybody's here for a reason. But again, when we can't access that truth, oh my goodness, it's going to be hard to move yourself out of a situation that is killing you. Overwhelming fear is also a part of this. Living only in survival mentality will also make this challenging. So when you can't get access to your higher self, it's going to be really hard to change your mind. Number two, you are stuck in or addicted to victim consciousness. This is the belief that the world is out to get you. Now, anyone who's come through childhood trauma and repeated, especially if it was repeated episodes, will find it very difficult to believe that the world is out to gift you. You really do have to do work to shift that belief system around. But when you're stuck in it, it's really hard. It's really hard to even believe that you can shift anything around. I've met many people for whom happy endings in life only mean pain because they can't trust that a God or the universe is always working on their behalf. They are stuck in that victimization. They are stuck in what happened to them. They can't believe that there is always treasure in trouble and trauma. Always there's some treasure, but we have to mine it. So again, if you're stuck in or addicted to being a victim, thinking the world is out to get me, nobody likes me, nobody loves me, I can never have what I want, Christmas doesn't work out for me, you know, from Polar Express. Yeah, it's very, very, very challenging to get out of situations, relationships that really, really are not fulfilling and are killing you. And then lastly, the other reason, number three, why I believe it's so hard to change up your mind is because you're unconsciously stuck in your control drama. For you, any change means losing control. So a control drama is where I believe that the only way I can be safe is I've got to control everybody and everything around me. And so a control drama really can have you not able to, again, connect with that higher part of yourself because you're so focused on survival, right? It's just like survival. You know, control can be feeling superior to a dysfunctional partner or to, could be a bipolar boss. It's also believing that there isn't any more for you, so you have to hold on to what you have. It's a belief that this is the best that I can do. This is all that I can do. You know, so there's this absence of knowing that you have a choice, that you really have a choice. You can change up your mind, not change down. You can change up your mind. But again, you know, that control drama is real, and especially if you've been traumatized, especially if you grew up with alcoholic parents, and you never knew when you came home from school what was going to be going on and how you were going to manage. You know, the great actor Marlon Brando, you know, who's been called like the greatest actor that ever existed, had a horribly alcoholic mother. And he would come home from school and not know, and there'd be nothing in the refrigerator. And he'd get a phone call from a bar and say, this woman's down here, you need to come get her. And so, you know, he had huge control drama issues, Marlon did. So, again, these three things make it really challenging for us to change up our minds. But just because it's challenging doesn't mean that we can't do it. Because we can learn how to connect to our higher self. We can let go of being a victim and thinking the world is out to get us. We can let go of our control drama. We can learn how to do that. Trust me, I did. I learned how to do it. And when it shows up, I know the reasons why, and I say, okay, let's breathe. What do we need to do now so that we can feel safe without trying to control everybody and everything? You know, so we can move, we can grow out of these blocks. So here's my personal challenge to you this week. Because this week I didn't want to start talking about how do we change up our mind. I'll talk about that next week because that's when I talk about creating change. How do we create change in our lives? How do we get beyond those blocks that I just talked about? How do we get beyond that? So I'm going to give you this personal challenge. It'll be these contemplative questions. I will post them on my Facebook page, I promise you, right after the broadcast, and that way you'll be able to refer back. But I think that these contemplative questions will be very helpful to you if you are someone who is in a situation that I talked about or something related to it. So whether it is the perpetual fear and anxiety, whether it's the debt management, whether it's an unhappy, unfulfilling relationship or job, you know, contemplate this because this will help you. And anywhere that you could be stuck, you know, like if you've been waiting for something to happen in your life, a relationship, a job, an increase in salary, you know, whatever, and it hasn't happened, you know, you need to change up your mind. And so first question I want you to think about, what are three things that you can do to access your higher self? For example, is it meditation? Is it prayer? Is it conversing with someone you trust and who trusts you? You know, what is it that's going to get you to be able to remember the truth of who you are as a divine being, a divine entity connected to source, connected to God, that created the Grand Canyon and the planets up in the sky and dark matter and all this stuff that, you know, scientists just can't even figure out, like why it all works and why we're here. You know, that's what you're connected to. It's infinite. And we have to really have a way to access that truth if we're going to get through what's holding us back from our happy endings in life. Number two, how stuck are you in victim consciousness? Really think about that. Really think about that. Road rage is a form of victim consciousness because anytime you've got a villain, anytime there's somebody that you can blame something on, you're a victim. That's really how it works. I'm not just talking about, you know, like crime that's done to you or, you know, something really harmful. That's victimization too. But it comes also in this other way where you're needing a villain. You're needing someone that you can blame your stuff on. So think about that. Contemplate that. You know, who in your life are you believing has some kind of power and control over you? Because as an adult, that never has to be true. You can change up your mind. I also want you to think about the only thing before that, who are the villains in your life? So when you think about how stuck you are in victim consciousness, then who are the villains? Who are the villains in your life? Who are the people that you believe are keeping you from doing and being and having what you need to do and be? And then think about the fact that the only thing you can control is yourself, okay? We can't control other people and circumstances. We really can't. How's that working for you? How's that working for you? That the only thing you can control is yourself. Are you investing time and energy in you and taking care and cleaning up and changing up what you need to do with you, rather than trying to take on the responsibility for somebody else? And last but not least, in what ways are you valuing yourself? How does that show up in your life? How is it that you say, yes, yes, I am really treating myself well. I am really allowing myself to receive acknowledgement and respect in all forms. And who in your life values you? Who is it that you know values you? Wow. So, again, next week I'm going to share both scientific and spiritual methods for changing up your mind. But I'm going to close out now with a thank you, a shout out to Ms. Yvette Parker, the Vice President of Black Hole Radio, for being my engineer tonight and for welcoming me back, because Brother Jason was on last week, so she's welcomed me back this week, which I'm so grateful for. And to her and the entire Black Hole Be Well family, thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting my work. Shout out to all my regular listeners, especially Ms. Sarah, again, who beautifully demonstrates that as long as you're alive, you can change up your mind. She proves it every day. And to all of those who have wisdom walk with me, and you know who you are, my family and spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters around the world, and those who are listening in for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. I could not do this without your listenership. Again, next week I will continue my theme of living to change, changing to live, as I explore creating change. Don't forget about my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio. I'll also post this on the Black Hole Radio page. I will put those contemplation questions up so that you can use them. And last but not least, and a reminder about the eclipse, and I will include that too, because that's important. You want to really contemplate that. How has the eclipse impacted you? But I also want to express my gratitude up. So I'd like to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides, some loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous nature week and a nature month and a nature year. And remember, you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure.